Oh, that's better. Sorry, I didn't have it on. That was me. That was me. They were scrambling back there. Like, what did I do?
As a parent, my kids are a little older now, but if you've been a parent and your kid asks you for something, as a parent, would I, my kids ask me for something nice? Unless they ask for a snake. And then maybe I'll do the snake. So I'm not going to do bad things to them, right? I'm generally going to try to help them to figure things out. Yeah. You have a question? No, don't worry.
Yeah, you can ask it later. You can ask it later. Yeah, when we go back, you can ask it. Okay. The same, when we think of that, when we think of our parents, and we think of times when we've needed help and we've gone to our parents, at any age, I've been able to go to my parents when I need help, and they can help me figure things out. And my dad has always had some sage advice for me or some help for me, and various things like that throughout my life. The same is with God. If we go to God, no matter the circumstance, God's not there trying to figure out how to punish us through everything. He's not there trying to put his thumb on us. He's not there trying to, he's not trying to throw snakes at us, hopefully. All right. The scripture this morning that God is going to take all things, work it for our good. No matter the circumstance, no matter what we're going through, he's there as a good parent, as a good father, as a perfect father, way better than me. And if I can figure it out as an imperfect person how to take care of my kids, how much more is God going to help and take care of his children? And I'm going to turn it over to Fred as we go back to Junior Church.
Thank you, brother.
Ask first.
That's a little different.
Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30 will be our text. We'll read it just a little bit. Romans 8, 28 through 30. We're continuing our series of lessons from Romans chapter 8. It's on. Okay, I don't know. It is on. So we're continuing our series on Romans chapter 8, looking at the Christian benefits. Christian benefits. Let me ask you a question. How many of you like to know spoiler alerts of a book or movie? Will you raise your hand if you like to know the spoiler alerts? No, there's no hand that goes up. Now, there was a study done by two researchers at the University of California of San Diego about spoilers. Apparently, they had a lot of time on their hands. But in this study, they were trying to determine whether or not spoilers actually spoil the story. And they ran three experiments with six short stories in book form and six in movie form. And they found that people consistently enjoyed a story more when they knew the ending, when the ending had been spoiled. When they knew the ending rather than reading the story or watching the movie with a sense of suspense or dread. And one of the researchers I had an interesting theory about why people like getting spoiler alerts. He said, it could be that once you know how the story turns out, you're more comfortable with processing the information and you can focus on a deeper understanding of the story. I mean, whatever the reason, according to the study, the majority of people, you know, wanted to know, they enjoyed knowing what the story was and how it would end, okay? Now, when I first read this article, I really pushed back because I thought this simply cannot be true, because people do not want to know the ending before they watch the movie. They don't want to know the ending before they read the book. But honestly, I have seen some movies that I wished I would have known the ending before I saw them. I think it would have made more sense of the storyline. In fact, Brenda will even tell you that if we watch a movie on television that is a true story, I will be there with my cell phone looking at the true people and the true events. And so I usually know the ending. Yeah, you do that too, okay. I usually know the ending before it ends. So maybe these researchers are onto something. I don't know. But we may not want to know exactly how it ends. But what we do want to know, we want to be able to trust the author or the director enough to know that they are taking us on a journey that may be perilous and suspenseful at times, but is going to end well. It's going to end with justice and love and redemption. At least that's what our hope is. But that's exactly, I believe, what Paul wanted his readers to understand as he wrote the words Romans 8, 28 through 30. So follow with me. That very familiar passage, Paul begins in Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Now, Paul is warning the Christians at Rome to know right from the start that they can trust the author of the story. They can trust the author. Instead of fear, they could have faith that events, even their present sufferings, verse 18 tells us, were leading to a good ending. That's what he wanted them to know. It's going to end well. And perhaps for many of you, this is a good thing to know because you are in a part of your story that you didn't think would ever be written. In fact, you're in the middle of a chapter of your life that you did not want, and it certainly wasn't invited. I mean, maybe the chapter that you're in the middle of is titled Divorced, or Lonely, or Loss. It could be that you're starting the chapter of your life titled Terminal, or Bankruptcy, or Unemployment. And your story may be scary, but God is not finished with you yet. Okay? Amen? God's not finished with us yet. And Paul points out that the benefits that Christians have knowing that God is at work in their lives to give the very best ending to our story. He wants us to know what those benefits are. So number one, the first benefit is this, that God works for our good. Verse 28, He works for our good. Now, this is a passage I have quoted countless times in sermons over the years. You've heard me preach from this text before. You've heard me quote it many, many times. In fact, it was one that was shared with Brenda and me many times through Facebook and cards and phone calls during the passing of our son 3 years ago. But frankly, during that time, I just could not see how God was working anything good through the death of my boy. I just didn't see it at all. And I think this is a beautiful promise unless your circumstances seem to contradict it at the moment. Have you also found that to be true? I mean, it's a wonderful promise unless it's your health that is failing, your job that is eliminated, your marriage that is falling apart, your house that is going through foreclosure, your child that has died, and then this passage suddenly doesn't seem quite as comforting. At least it wasn't for me. But what do you think of the Christians at Rome? What do you think they were thinking when they heard Paul's words for the very first time? What did the Christians at Rome think about Paul's letter? Now, the Roman Emperor Nero was ramping up persecution of Christians. Claudius, the emperor before him, had already expelled the Jews from Rome, and Acts 18, verse 2 tells us. And it was only a matter of time that Christianity would be outlawed. The church at Rome was being harassed by Roman soldiers. Some Christians were having their homes confiscated and loved ones put in prison. Others were beaten for insubordination. And if you were a Christian at Rome at that time, your way of life would be in a constant turmoil. But then the Roman church receives a letter from Paul, who is in Corinth, some 600 miles away, telling them that God is working everything for their good if they only love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Now, when they heard that for the first time, do you think that there were puzzled looks on their faces when they heard those words? Do you think that people were just kind of shaking their heads? What is he talking about? I mean, they loved God just as much as any other church. They too had been called according to His purpose, giving their lives to Jesus, and yet these words of Paul must have been confusing as they tried to correlate his words with their reality. Because it just didn't look like God was doing anything good for what they were dealing with. I think the confusion is that we want this promise to say something that it doesn't. It does not say that if you love God and you are called according to His purpose, that everything that happens to you will be good. This verse does not say that at all. Now, I have heard televangelists, say that very thing. And for those Christians who believe that, when bad things happen, they begin to question their love for God and their service to Him. I mean, that they must not be faithful or else they wouldn't have so many problems in their life. And yet that teaching is not found anywhere in the Bible. It's not there. In fact, Jesus tells us in John chapter 16, verse 33, He said, "In this world you will have what? Trouble. In this world you will have trouble." It is a given. It is a given. Because we live in a fallen world, we will experience troubles, pain, sickness, death, whether we love God or not. Okay? Whether you love God or not, you are going to have trouble in this world. Everyone does. In fact, no one loved God the Father like Jesus. And yet He still died on a cross. In fact, the promise of Romans 8:28 is on full display at the cross of Christ. I mean, even in the midst of the darkness of death of his very own and only begotten Son, God was working all things for our good. That's what God was doing at the cross, working all things for our good. So Paul is not teaching that everything that happens to a Christian will be good. but that God is working through whatever difficult circumstance that we may be experiencing for His good purpose in our lives. Now, we may not always see it. We may not always understand it. You know, may not. But God is at work for our good. And I truly believe that one day it will be revealed to us in heaven all the things that God was doing behind the scenes. And I think that we will be amazed to see how He took a difficult situation in our life and worked something good from it on the behalf of His purpose for us. His purpose for us. So what is God's purpose for us? Well, let's look at the second benefit. Because God's purpose for us is that God conforms us into the likeness of His Son, verse 29. Now, God's ultimate purpose for us is that we be like His Son. That's what God wants of us. Whatever good that God is doing behind the scenes, whether for the, you know, working for the good of those who love Him or called according to His purpose, is for the sole purpose of conforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. His purpose is not to make our lives easier. His purpose is not, it's not to make our lives easier on this earth. It's not to make us happy. It's not even to turn the bad things that happen to us into good things. It is to make us like His Son, our older brother Jesus. And church, that is to be our incessant goal. That is to be your goal. That is to be my goal, is that we become more like Jesus every single day. Amen? That we be more like Christ. And in the process of conforming us in the likeness of His Son, Paul reveals some amazing things about God, our Heavenly Father. First of all, he says here, for those who God foreknew. Okay? Those who God foreknew. And this is speaking of God's omniscience, that God is all-knowing. Church, God sees things different from the way we see them. I mean, we see things in a linear fashion. One event unfolds after another. We see everything having a beginning and having an end, but yet God sees the whole picture all at once. Because He exists outside of time and space. Now, we certainly can't understand that because we're not God, okay? We don't understand it. We can't fathom that whatsoever. I mean, we are confined to the here and now. But God knows all, and He sees all. He knows what has happened, and He knows what will happen. In fact, in Isaiah 46, verses the latter part of verse 9 and verse 10, God speaking to the prophet says, I am God, and there is none like me. Can we get an amen?
Amen?
Amen. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. In other words, He's God, and we're not. Okay? He's God. But what does all that mean for your story? What does that mean for my story? Well, it means that we're never in a chapter of our story where our Heavenly Father ever says, I didn't see that coming. No, God knows all about it. God was not taken by surprise when our son died with the COVID virus. He already knew that, and He was already working for the good of Stephen. You know, for quite some time, Brenda and I had been concerned about what would ever happen to Stephen if we were to pass away before him. You know, we knew that because of his morbid obesity, he could not take care of himself. In fact, he couldn't really drive anymore. He couldn't shop for groceries. He couldn't work outside of the home. He worked as a gaming company online at home. That was his job. But the reality is that we would have to put him in a care facility. They would. If something happened to Brendan Mee, they would have to put Stephen in a care facility, and that within itself would devastate and humiliate him. In fact, he wouldn't have survived for long. He wouldn't have. And although his mom and I would certainly have chosen something different for Stephen, God, who is always good and sees all and knows all, put our son in the best place ever to be cared for, his heavenly home. God says, you don't have to worry about that anymore. Your son is okay. But secondly, Paul goes on to say, those who God foreknew, he predestined. Those who God foreknew, he predestined. God's predestination is based on God's foreknowledge. Now, I want you to get this part, okay? Because there's a lot of confusion regarding this passage. So God's predestination is based on God's foreknowledge. There are those who God foreknew would love him and answer the gospel call he predestined or preordained to be conformed and to the likeness of his son. Now, this passage does not say that God chooses who will and will not accept Jesus and obey the gospel, as some people teach. That's not what he is teaching here at all. That's not what he is saying at all. If that was the case, then there would be no reason to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Because God has already chosen who will and will not be saved. This is not about someone being predestined to become a Christian, but rather it is about the destiny of those who are already Christians, those who love God and have already responded to the gospel call to become like Jesus. And that's why whenever you read about predestination in Scripture, it always has reference to the believers, not non-believers, okay? It always has reference to believers, not non-believers or unbelievers. So understand that. But then thirdly, the third benefit listed here is this, that God prepares for us eternal life. Okay? Verse 30. Did you realize that God has been involved in every step of yours and my salvation? That he's been involved in every single step of our salvation? I mean, Paul said, first of all, that he has called us, okay? He's called us. Again, this does not have reference to God calling only certain people to be a Christian. That's not what that means at all. The way that God calls us is through the gospel message that he commissioned his disciples to go on into all the world and share with everyone. Not just a select few, but to share with everyone. In fact, I want you to turn your Bible, if you will, please, over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. I want you to look at chapter 2, verses 13 to 14, 2 Thessalonians. And I want you to listen to what Paul says here. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Listen to what he says, verse 13. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning God chose you to be saved. How? Through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel. How did he call us? Through the gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul said that God called us, how? By the gospel. How does God call us? By the gospel. The gospel that is to be spread throughout the entire world, that's how God calls us. It doesn't mean here that God does not go around choosing who will and will not be saved. You're in, you're out, you're in, you're out, you're in, you're out. That's not what that means at all. That God sent His gospel for the entire world, for every living person to have the same opportunity to accept the gospel call as we all do. Amen? And that's what we need to understand. Okay. So not only says He call us, secondly, He justified us. He justified us. Those of us who choose to give our lives to Christ as our Lord and Savior have been justified by the blood of Jesus that was shed upon the cross for us. That's how we're justified. Jesus died for the whole world, John 3:16. He died for everybody. But only those who truly love Him and accepted the gospel call of God are justified, are made right before God. Only those who give their lives to Christ. We need to understand that very thing. This is the very thing that Michael, Joshua, and Jacob did last Sunday. When they gave their lives to Christ, they were justified. They were made right. Their sins were forgiven. When He came up out of that watery grave of baptism, they were completely cleansed of all their sins. And we're thankful that they're part of us. Amen? Amen. But then thirdly, He says that He glorified us. He glorified us. Now this is the final chapter of our story. This is the final chapter. The title of this chapter is called Glorified because it reflects the character of Christ that we take on when we are glorified with Him in heaven. And because God can see from the beginning chapter of the story to the final chapter, He can speak of our perfect conformity to Christ's image as if we have already completed it. He sees us as His children already glorified in Christ Jesus. That's what He does. The final chapter will go on and on and on as we spend eternity with our Heavenly Father, as we spend eternity with Him and our Savior Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, let's never forget that regardless of what our present sufferings are, and I know some of you here, I know the sufferings that you're going through. We have people who aren't here today because it's not because they don't want to be here, but yet they are physically unable to be with us today because they're going through physical suffering. There are those who go through emotional suffering and other difficulties and other problems, and we have that, and we have people that are going through these things all the time. So let's not forget that regardless of what our present sufferings are, our Heavenly Father is working through them for our good to ultimately conform us into the likeness of His Son. God is good. All the time, God is good. All the time, God is good. So let me ask you, what chapter of your life are you in right now? What chapter are you in right now? Whatever it is, I'm going to tell you how the story is headed. If you love God and you have accepted His gospel call, then God is conforming you into the likeness of His Son. That's what God is doing for us right now. And your life, you know, it may not always be easy. In fact, there's going to be troubles. You know, there's going to be problems along the way. But if you let God do His work for good in your life, there will be nothing to dread because we already know how the story ends. Amen? We already know the ending. So let me ask you, have you seen God work for good in your life? Have you seen that? I don't know if anybody might want to share, but can you would anybody be willing to share a time that was so just a difficulty that you were going through and you didn't realize that God was working in your life? Mark?
In 2008, I was in an automobile accident. Mostly, honestly, of all because of my drink.
Yeah.
Should have killed me. This wreck should have killed me. I thought I was lucky when I survived. I wasn't lucky. God had his hand on me and he blessed me. That's why I'm here today.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? Anybody else want to share? Yes, Cindy.
When my brother had been in the hospital, and his, at the time, you know, there still was a COVID stuff going on, and so you can only be one person going up there. So his kids asked me to go because they lived in Morganton. I had been Plainville, so I was the closest to my sister, so I was the only one allowed to go up there and see him. And I had already been talking to him about,
yeah, sure. Sure. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes.
And he was different after that.
Amen.
And it wasn't very long. Eventually, the Lord called him home.
Sure. But he called him home. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else want to share? Anything else? Yes. Sarah, we'll be with you in a minute. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Pam? Amen. 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 Anybody else? You know, I think when we really begin to look back over situations in our life, difficult circumstances in our life, when you're right in the middle of it, I mean, you just don't see God at work. I mean, you just don't understand that at all. In fact, your questions always are, why? Why is this happening? What's going on? God, you said you loved me. You said you loved my son. What's going on? But what you realize is that after it's over, and even if it doesn't always turn out the way that you prayed, God finally brings an understanding, a revelation, if you will, to you that says, I have been working on this all the time. I've been at work, and don't ever forget it. Susan. Amen. Amen. And so 2 weeks before he passed away, he was talking to you about heaven. So God was at work. God was at work. Amen. God was at work. We're going to be singing this invitation song. And during this invitation song is a time for us, for you, for me, just to reflect on our own lives. To find out what is God speaking through us? What is God working? How is he working in our lives to better serve him, to become more like his son Jesus? Sometimes, again, we go through some very tough things. I know that many of you have been through those tough things. But when you go on the other side, I think God is saying, I've never left you. I've been there with you all along. I've been carrying you through it all along, Fred. I've been there. And we need to always remember that God is always at work in our lives for our good, to make us more like Jesus. So if we can help you, if we can pray with you, if we can talk to you about becoming a Christian, if you're not one, we want to do that today as together we stand and we sing.